Good evening. My name's Nathan. I'm one of the other pastors here at the church. I'm really sorry I can't be there in person tonight. Sadly, we've had COVID in our house, and so we're isolating at the moment. We're going to get our Bibles open to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. We're working our way through this New Testament letter, and this evening we've arrived at chapter 1 and verse 13. Give you a moment to find that. And then let me read that to us. Therefore, Peter writes, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and your hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. This is God's word to us tonight. Let me pray, and then we'll think about these words together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you that they are your very words. And we ask tonight, please, that they would teach us and rebuke us and correct us and train us in righteousness. We ask, please, that they would make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And this we ask in his name. Amen. Well, here's a question to get thinking about this evening. What difference should a Sunday make to your Monday? What difference should the things that we sing about on a Sunday, all that we celebrate and reflect upon on a Sunday, make to your Monday? How should it shape and change the way you live on a Monday? As Christians, we often use a Sunday, take a Sunday to gather together and to rejoice in our salvation. That's what we've been doing together today. It's actually a salvation that Peter has already described to those he writes to in the beginning part of chapter 1. So just come back with me to verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. What a wonderful salvation. We've been given new birth into God's family through faith in Jesus Christ. We've been given an inheritance, a future that can never perish, spoil, or fate. But as we celebrate those things, as we enjoy those things, what difference should that make to a Monday? Especially when that Monday could be surrounded by people who really don't share those beliefs with you, who don't share in that salvation with you. In a Monday, perhaps, that is filled with trials of many kinds, just like those that Peter writes to had trials of many kinds. That could be opposition for being a believer in Jesus. It could be illness. It could be broken relationships. It could be that work is causing you stress and pain. What difference should our salvation, our things that we celebrate on a Sunday, make to that kind of a Monday? Well, look at chapter 1 and verse 13, the very verse in our reading for this evening. It starts with the word therefore. Peter is about to make the link between the salvation that we enjoy and have as Christians and the way that we should live and think and behave on a Monday. And Peter shows us, in this little reading at least, that there are two things, two ways that a Sunday should shape a Monday. And here's the first. Sunday should shape a Monday as we put our hope in heaven. Sunday should shape a Monday as we put our hope in heaven. See, look at verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. See, look at that little phrase right in the middle there. Set your hope. Look forward to this thing, not other things. Set all your hopes, look forward to this particular thing. As one writer puts it, translator puts it, rest the full weight of your hopes, the things that you're longing for, on the grace that will be yours when Jesus Christ is revealed. See, we're always looking for things to hope in, aren't we? Particularly when things are difficult. We have things that we look forward to that signal the end of the difficult situation that we're in. So, for example, we think, well, if this happens, then everything will be okay. It might be with a health issue. If I could just see this consultant, or if I could just get my hands on this medication, then everything will be okay. That's a hope. Or if I could just get that pay rise, if I could just get that job, then everything would be okay. I could make ends meet. In many situations, we set our hope, we pin our hopes, we rest our hopes on something we believe that will make everything better. And Peter says to followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who are saved and scattered throughout the world and suffering griefs in all kinds of trials, he says, set your hope, look forward to, rest the full weight of your hopes on the grace that we will receive when Jesus comes again. That grace is a very precious word to us as Christians, isn't it? It means the undeserved kindness of God. And right now, if you're a believer in Jesus, we are the recipients of grace, being treated like we don't deserve to be treated. But there is more grace to come. It's grace that we will receive when Jesus Christ comes again. It's the grace of a place in heaven, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It's the receiving of the full and final salvation of our souls. And that's where our hopes should be. That's where the trials will of many kinds will come to an end. And Sunday should shape where our hopes are on a Monday. What are we looking forward to? What do we really think is going to end all the trials that we're going through right now? Setting our hope on heaven is going to take minds that are alert and fully sober. You notice that verse 13? With minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to come. Minds that are alert and minds that are ready for action, ready to do the things that God tells us to do. Minds that are sober are minds that aren't intoxicated and fuzzed up with the things of the world. Can I ask you this evening, where is your hope? When you walk out into a Monday, what is it that you're looking forward to? What is it that you're pinning your hopes on? How are we deliberately setting our hope on the things we celebrate on a Sunday, on that coming of the Lord Jesus? Do we remind one another, particularly when things are difficult, of this grace that is to be revealed? Do we encourage each other to pin our hopes on that day? Saying things like, friend, you know, look, remember, we've been shown great mercy by God. We've been given new birth into his family. We've been promised an inheritance when Jesus is coming again. There's more grace. Keep going. How does Sunday shape a Monday? Peter says, first of all, put your hope in heaven. But secondly, how does Sunday shape a Monday? Well, Peter says, pursue holiness. On a Monday, we should pursue holiness. Look at verse 14 and 15. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now at the heart of these words, Peter puts an instruction, a command in for believers, and it's right there in the middle of verse 15. Be holy in all you do. Now what does that mean? Well, if I can put it like this tonight, to be holy, it means to pursue the family likeness. It means to pursue being like our Heavenly Father who has given us birth into this family. It means to pursue being like Jesus in all his goodness and perfection. And notice that we're to pursue this holiness in all what we do, in all our thinking, in all our behavior, in every area of our life. Holiness is to filter in, the family likeness is to filter into everything we do. And God says, verse 16, be holy because I am holy. You've joined my family. Now to pursue holiness, what does that mean? Well, to pursue holiness has two sides to it. First of all, there's a separation. It means leaving certain things behind. But then there's a pursuing of something new. A separation and a pursuit of something new. Now we see that contrast in what Peter says in verse 14 and 15. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Do not conform. Don't pattern your life on the things that you used to do when you didn't believe in God, when you weren't part of his family, when you weren't interested in him. There's a separation. Leave that behind. And then there's a pursuit of something new. Be holy in all you do. Pursue a new way of life. Pursue a way of life that has God in it, that is like God. And we see what we celebrate together on a Sunday, our salvation, our place in God's family, our forgiveness of sins, should shape the way that we behave on a Monday. We should pursue holiness. Now, in many ways, the rest of the letter of Peter is about that pursuit of holiness. But just in this little section here, Peter gives us three ways to pursue holiness, three practical ways as we go to Monday that we can pursue holiness. Number one is this: live out your life in reverent fear of God. Look at verse 17. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. Look carefully at that verse, that little phrase there, to live out our time. It's talking about our conduct. It's about the way that we behave. Peter is saying that as we pursue holiness every day in our lives, we are to do it with a conscious sense of God, of the Lord, our God, our Father in heaven, seeing what we do. A conscious sense that he weighs up what we do, that it matters to him how we live. See, look how he's described in verse 17. He's described there as a father. He is our Father, our heavenly Father. But he's a Father who judges. Verse 17, you see that? Notice that the word judges there is in the present tense. This isn't talking about his future judgment. This is a Father who weighs up, who sees the way we live today. He's impartial. You notice that? He's a Father who judges each person's work impartially. He's not going to show favoritism. And one writer puts it like this. He says, membership in God's family, great privilege though it is, must not lead to presumption that disobedience will pass unnoticed or undisciplined. In what sense then, as Christians, should we fear God as followers of Jesus? Why should we fear him? I think we shouldn't fear God, right? Because that removal of fear has come at the cross. We don't fear final judgment. Isn't that right? So what sense should we fear God? Well, as a follower of Jesus, this isn't fear here of the final judgment, but this is fear of the sense of God's ongoing discipline of us, fear of bringing upon him us his displeasure. This fear, this reverent fear, this consciousness of God in everything we're doing as we go about our lives will help us to pursue holiness, to leave behind the things that we used to do, and to pursue holiness, to pursue the family likeness. Now why? Why should we live that way? Well, Peter, once again, takes Sunday, takes all the truths about our salvation, and he massages them in, he rubs them in. See, look at verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from your empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. We are to live conscious of God every day in reverent fear of God because he's the one who redeemed us. He set us free from our captivity to sin, from our empty, dead-end way of life that was going to end in death and judgment. And he's bought us, he's purchased us, set us free at the cost of the precious blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. That blood that he shed on the cross for us. Our place in his family was a costly place. We are to be, verse 14, obedient children. And because of this redemption, because he's redeemed us in this way, verse 21, our faith and our hope are in God. Here's the slight tension. We are to fear the one in whom we have faith. We're not trying to earn our salvation. Our faith is in God for that salvation, for that redemption. But as those who have faith in him, we now live conscious of him, with a fear of him. Are your faith and your hope in God? Have you been redeemed by Jesus Christ? Have you been brought into that family? As we pursue holiness, we're to do so with reverent fear for God. The second way we pursue holiness on a Monday is to love one another. Now that's a really familiar command, isn't it? It's on our verse for the year banners. To love one another. But look at verse 22. Now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. Having believed the truth about Jesus, the precious Lamb who was sacrificed for our sins, we've now been brought into God's family. And we are called to grow in our love for one another. We are called to have deep, heartfelt love for other members of God's family. Now, what does that look like? Well, for that, we need to leap to chapter 2 and verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Deep love for one another, pursuing holiness, the family likeness, remember, involves two things, a separation and a pursuit. And chapter 2 verse 1 tells us some of those things that we need to separate from, leave behind. Malice. See that chapter 2 verse 1? That's ill intent, bad intent towards others in our actions. Deceit. Well, that's leaving behind harming others by false information, by tricking them, by deceiving them. Hypocrisy, that's masking inward evil, inward thoughts and actions, hatred towards people with an outward show. Envy, that's not being thankful for good that comes to others. We don't rejoice in the good that comes to others. Instead, we're jealous. Slander, that speech that harms others either to their face or behind their backs. That is not loving. These are not loving behavior. And so we're to separate ourselves from those things and instead pursue the good of others. Now why? What reason does Peter give? Well, again, he takes us back to Sunday. He takes us back to the wonderful truths of our salvation and he massages them in. See, look at verse 23 to 25 of chapter 1. For you've been born again. It takes us back to our salvation. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Peter says that we're to love one another deeply because we've all been born into God's family. And how did we get into that family? Well, through the living and enduring word of God, through the gospel of Jesus Christ that was preached to us. And this gospel, Peter underlines it and double underlines it, has a nature that means it lasts forever. Peter wants us to know that the word that gave us birth is an eternal word, a never-ending word. Now, why does that become the reason, the motivation for us loving one another? Well, I think it might be as simple as this, that Peter wants us to see that the family God has created through his eternal word is therefore a never-ending family, a forever family. And we are to love one another now and grow in love for one another now because we will be spending eternity with one another. Pursue holiness, Peter says, by love for one another. Third way Peter says we pursue holiness on a Monday is that we're to long for the word. Long for the word. Look at chapter 2 and verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. We are to long for the word of God, the eternal word of God. I guess we've all heard a baby crying for milk, crying, craving for nourishment. As followers of Jesus, we are to long for the word just like a baby cries for milk. Now why? Well, look again at verse 2. So that by it you may grow up in your salvation. We may grow up into the family likeness. Do you read the Bible? Do you long for the Bible so that you might grow up, you might be nourished, so that you might keep tasting of the goodness of God? Peter says that that is what it looks like to pursue holiness. To pursue holiness means longing for the word, getting as much of the word as we can. So friends, what difference does a Sunday, or should a Sunday, make to your Monday? What difference does being in church tonight make to your Monday tomorrow, whatever that looks like? How does being given new birth and a place in God's family through faith in Jesus Christ shape the way that we live and think and behave on a Monday, even when that Monday is filled with suffering? Peter says two things. Number one, put your hope in heaven. As you walk into Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, make sure that you're looking forward to your hope. All your dreams and desires are pinned on the return of Jesus, on heaven, on the grace to be given us when he comes again. And secondly, pursue holiness. As we walk out into a Monday, let us be a group of people who are pursuing holiness, being like our God and Father, to pursue the family likeness. And we do that as we live every day conscious that God is our God, he's our judge and he's our Saviour, our Redeemer, loving one another and longing for the word. May God help our Mondays, whatever they may hold, to look like that. Let me pray some of that in, and then I'll hand back to whoever's leading. Our Father in heaven, we want to say thank you for the new birth that you have given us into your family and into this inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Father, thank you that we have entry to that inheritance through Jesus Christ. Thank you for our redemption that came at the great cost of his precious blood. Thank you for your enduring word that has been preached to us and through which we've tasted of your goodness. May these great realities that we celebrate so often here on a Sunday shape the way we do Monday. Help us to set our hope on the coming of Jesus. We look forward to that day when your grace is given to us. Come, Lord Jesus. And may we pursue holiness this week, conscious of you, loving others, and longing for the word. May we bear the family likeness in all we do. And in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Well, our Heavenly Father has reminded us through his word that he is holy, and that